for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Opponents of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline plan to use a steel sculpture to physically block the pipeline's construction. First, it has to be built, though. The Koch brothers say they will not support Corey Stewart in his challenge to Senator Tim Kaine. And descendants of those enslaved by Thomas Jefferson find their voice at Monticello. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, June 18th.
Support for the WMRA Daily is provided by the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with ample parking. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
Opponents of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline plan to block the project's construction with an 8-by-8-foot movable steel sculpture. The Daily News Record reports that the Climate Action Alliance of the Valley plans to use the project called the Defenders to physically block the pipeline's path. Opponents of the pipeline argue its construction threatens the environment and the property values of those in its path and discourages the transition to renewable sources of energy, such as wind and solar. But the CAAV's sculpture has not been built yet. Organizers say they need to raise $4,000 to purchase the steel. They launched a Kickstarter campaign Sunday in Harrisonburg to raise money for the project. A harmful algae bloom in a lake in Albemarle County has led officials to close off public access. On the county's website, officials say the algae bloom in Chris Green Lake is a naturally occurring circumstance due to recent weather conditions. Preliminary tests indicate the elevated presence of a type of blue-green algae that can cause rashes and other illnesses. Authorities say people and pets are prohibited from the lake's water until concentrations return to acceptable levels. Algae are essential to food chains, but the tiny plants and bacteria sometimes multiply out of control. A leading cause is often fertilizer runoff, and within the last decade, outbreaks have been reported in every state, a trend likely to accelerate as climate change boosts water temperatures. Also, Charlottesville will swear in its first African-American woman as police chief today. Rochal M. Brackney is a former George Washington University police chief. She is also a 30-year veteran of the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police. She succeeds Chief Al Thomas, who retired in December after the release of a scathing report about the city's response to last summer's white supremacist rally. One prominent conservative group will not support Republican nominee for Senate Corey Stewart. Americans for Prosperity, funded largely by Charles and David Koch, spent heavily to help Nick Freitas, Stewart's opponent in the GOP primary. Stewart is an outspoken supporter of President Donald Trump, who often attacks other Republicans, and he has promised a, quote, vicious campaign against Democratic incumbent Tim Kaine. The number of children who live in poverty decreased across the United States, but it has increased in the Commonwealth. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains.
Since 2014, the number of Virginia children who live in poverty has gone up 15%, according to census data. During that same time, the number of children who live in poverty across the country has gone down 15%. Emily Griffey at Voices for Virginia's Children says the Commonwealth is famously stingy.
We have more challenging eligibility requirements for childcare and lower reimbursement rates for folks to afford childcare.
Frank Shafroth at George Mason University says part of the problem is the longstanding opposition to expanding Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act, a burden dragging down the statistics until the beginning of next year.
Virginia was distinguishing itself in a bad way from other states in not providing assistance to the lowest income Virginians, particularly in Southside Virginia.
Places like Emporia and Danville, where almost half of the children live in poverty. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally, over the weekend, just outside Charlottesville, several hundred African American descendants of people enslaved by Thomas Jefferson gathered at Monticello for the unveiling of a new exhibit. Their ancestors are finally having a say. WMRA's Jordy Yeager reports.
We are sixth-generation descendants from Jefferson and Sally Hemings through their son, Madison Hemings.
25-year-old Zach Fisher and his brother David came from Pittsburgh for the opening of Monticello's long-awaited new exhibit called Look Closer. It's centered around four rooms on the level below Thomas Jefferson's mansion. The rooms are where he forced some of the more than 600 people he enslaved to cook for him, and it's where some slept. For years, David Fisher explains those rooms were something else entirely.
It just shows how far we've come. I remember coming here, and they were bathrooms before. They were just this low. They didn't know what they were, and now it's something important. It's something special. It creates an intimate experience where you can actually catch a glimpse of what life may have been like back then, whereas before there was not much of any representation.
Nearly 500,000 people tour Monticello every year. The vast majority are white or from other countries. Following James Madison's Montpelier, the new exhibits are part of Monticello's effort to try to tell the story of the enslaved, which for most of our history has been ignored or covered up. Monticello's conducted more than 200 oral histories that shape parts of the new exhibits. And that ancestor of Zach and David's, Madison Hemmings, back in the 19th century, he wrote a detailed family history that the new exhibits incorporate into the narrative. But as renowned historian Annette Gordon Reed explained, for many years, his writing was largely discounted because he was black.
The notions of white supremacy, the ideas of white supremacy, filtered down into the historical process, the way historians looked at this document as something untrustworthy, something that was not believable. Listening to people, having empathy for people, letting black people share power, because it's telling a story and being believed is a powerful thing. To have influence is a powerful thing. And when we let enslaved people tell the story of slavery, participate in the telling of the story of slavery, you change the historiography, you change historical writing, and I think it's a step towards changing the American story.
Next to Annette Gordon Reed on a large stage at Saturday's gathering was Darren Walker, president of the Ford Foundation, one of the world's largest philanthropies with a $12 billion endowment. Walker said Jefferson could have freed the people he enslaved, but he valued his wealth more. Walker drew a parallel to today's wealthy.
They hem and haw and say, oh, we know it's bad. We know it's terrible. We know it's morally reprehensible. And the things that are said in Charlottesville was so offensive to me. But I'm going to buy a new big house in the Hamptons because my taxes are going down. And so I think the lesson for American history has not been learned, that the outcome of greed over democracy and justice ultimately will render us a poorer nation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the country was founded on slavery, and its effects continue, from lynchings and Jim Crow laws to redlining, police brutality, and racial disparities at every juncture. The new Monticello exhibits don't address these in much depth, but Walker, seated next to billionaire David Rubenstein, one of Monticello's largest donors, didn't shy away, saying that power in this country needs to be reallocated.
When I talk to philanthropists, I'm interested not in a conversation about what are you giving back, what are you giving up? Because that's a big difference. I'm really not interested in a conversation that says, let me tell you, I want to be more generous. I want to move from generosity to justice, from the idea of charity to dignity.
J.C. Jefferson Jr. and his father, Calvin Jefferson, traced their ancestry back to three families enslaved by the former president, the Hemmings, Grangers, and Jupiter Evans, Thomas Jefferson's personal servant. J.C. and Calvin said, absolutely, equity is the goal. But that's a long process.
It's going to take a long time to chip away at that because no one wants to relinquish power. Power is not going to be relinquished by someone waking up and saying, oh, okay. I mean, we're seeing a resurgence of this because we came close. I mean, we had President Obama doing what he could to try to level the playing field. And then, you know, what did America do? America said, well, we're going to go back another few steps. So hopefully, you know, with stories that are coming out of this plantation, we can kind of see that, I mean, we're all human. And I think that's what Jefferson, I think he knew that. Of course, the times didn't dictate that's, you know, he could actually talk about that. Because if he did, then he wouldn't have been wealthy, and most of the white men would not have been wealthy. It took free labor to build this wealth and build this privilege.
The new exhibits are a good first step, descendants said. In the future, among other things, they want more time and money spent on the enslaved burial grounds. And some called attention to the fact that this new exhibit will make Monticello money. But they found solace, they said, in President Leslie Green Bowman's recent announcement that Monticello is forming a partial college scholarship fund for high school seniors whose ancestors Jefferson enslaved. For WMRA News, I'm Jordy Yeager.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Monday.